Appreciate her playing for us before the service. It's very appreciative and very nice. Take your hymnals and turn to number 370. Count Your Blessings. 370. And we'll stand together as we sing. Testimony time, you can tell others what you're counting this evening. So we have those that are joining us online. It's good to have you joining us, and you can sing along and count your blessings. Number three. Turning our hymnals to 325, More Like the Master, number 325. That should be our desire, the desire of our hearts to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to be conformed into His image, and this song is one the songwriter had that desire, and may that be ours. Appreciated that song. As far as any announcements, you've got those that are there in the bulletin. I think we want to particularly remember those that are at camp this week, especially Pastor Howard, as he's leading the camp as the director this week, and for those of our own young people. Just pray that the Lord would use this time in their hearts. Camp is a fun time. Camp, there's a lot of fun, a lot of activities. But our emphasis is that they would come to really meet the Lord face to face with their own particular and special needs. So we want to be in prayer for the camp this week and looking forward to those things that are before. We want to remember to pray for the veteran family, as Samuel and I'm not sure who all was sick there. I knew that the little girl was sick, I think, yesterday as well. Are there others in the family?
I just know for Samuel. I'm not sure.
Okay, but and Samuel was supposed to be preaching tonight. Obviously, he's not here. Pastor Howard called me last evening and asked me if I could be on standby, and I'm standing by. I'm here. So, but it's good. Good, we can bring them before the Lord. It was good to have a family visiting. Remember what their names were? Rick and Karen, wasn't it? Rick and Karen, I believe, were their net names. And I've not got the last name down in my mind. It was Law something. I don't remember that. So in case you're watching online, I'm sorry that I've not got your last name. But it's a blessing to have them. They've come and have recently moved into the area, and evidently live up there pretty close to where the Stows live. So it was nice to have them here today, and we want to remember to pray for those that have been continually being visited. I had some that this last week as we visited really expressed a real interest and said that they would and they wanted to come and to visit our church and recognizing their needs. So the devil likes to put all kinds of blocks in people's way and time constraints and you plan to go and somebody he sends somebody to their door for something, whatever the devil, he always does something or something breaks in the house or whatever. But anyway, we want to be in prayer for the Lord's working in people's hearts, and we want to be a blessing to those around us and be able to provide a place for them to come and to worship and be a part. So we want to be in prayer for that. So let's see. I think that's probably all that we really need. Do we have somebody who has a favorite that you'd like to sing tonight? Yes, Marlene. 334. Okay. Be thou my vision. All right. Let's. And be thinking about the testimonies that you would have. Thank you. Do we have this the mic for testimonies? Guess this thing's working. Okay, who wants to take the mic to somebody for a testimony? Okay, come up here. Anyway. All right, who has been counting your blessings as we sung and have a testimony tonight? Al. Okay.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the storm damage. Well, it's been about a month now when the tornadoes come through the county. But we had the vet out about a week ago. We had a calf that wasn't just quite the way he should be. So he come out, and we got to talking about the storm damage and stuff. And he's the one that actually mentioned it, but he said, you know, of all the damage and everything we had, we never had no humans have any got hurt from that bad storm. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, that's right. And I said, you know, there's a lot of damage everywhere, but nobody really got seriously hurt in it. And so that was a real blessing because we have a neighbor home on the next road over. They must have a dozen trees, and I think there's only one standing. Mm. And it was all right around his house. And I still don't, every time I drive by there, I can't believe that one limb didn't fall on that house. None of them fell on that house. And so that was definitely the Lord protecting a lot of people and a lot of places we had them come down too. We had to wait for the electric to come on. It didn't mess any electric up to the house, but the pastor did come over, and we found a couple of little bare spots we had to take care of. But at least, you know, when the power come back on, we still had power. And we're still waiting for the guys to come and do something about it, but at least we have the power. So, but we're just thankful, I mean, you know, that there was no people who got really seriously hurt. Just a lot of damage. So we thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen. All right. I'm Marlene.
Oh, there's much to be thankful for. I could be here till tomorrow night, but thankful for salvation and this church and all. But I was thinking the other day how Bev and Pastor started up the church in their home, which I'm very thankful for, that the Lord saw us to go there and visit, and here we are. But that's a lot to start a church. That's a lot to have people in your house Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and just real thankful for you both. And you, Pastor, especially taking on that. And I'm just so thankful for many things. I'm thankful for unanswered prayers. I've got prayers. They may get answered. They may not. But we're on the Lord's time. And it's thankful that I can just give them to Him. And they'll just be however. And there's prayers that I prayed and were answered. But they weren't answered my way. But now looking back, that was the right answer. So I'm just thankful for how He provides and protects us, and thankful for this
Amen.
Church.
Amen. And thank you, Marlene. Mrs. Gossman.
Yesterday we went to a family reunion for my husband's family. They've been meeting every year for well over 100 years. They have every year they take notes from everybody, what has been special in your family this year, and it all goes in a record book, and they have those record books that go back to the very first family reunion. And so it is a neat gathering. One of the cousins that it was a blessing to be able to sit and talk to is a girl who herself was raised on the mission field, a Hispanic country, and she has a real burden for the people of Cuba and has taken several just short-term trips back there to minister to the people of Cuba. And she just, you know, she has a joy of the Lord, but yet her heart was heavy with a lot of things that have transpired in her own family life over recent years. And we just sat there talking. And she said, but you know, there's one verse that just really is a blessing to me, that she shared it. And I thought, oh, that was one that I needed to hear. But it's in Hebrews chapter 3. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And as she talked about that verse, about how all of us are just so prone to, you know, to go our own way, and the importance to exhort one another daily. And to her, that was an encouraging verse. And I thought about that verse and how well it tied into Pastor's message this morning, the importance of being able to exhort one another. And it's interesting that in this verse it talks about the effects of our exhorting one another. It keeps us from being deceived as we share with one another and encourage them in the Word of God. It helps one another to not be deceived by the deceitfulness of sin, or our hearts hardened. And the next verse says, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end.
Thank you, Ms. Dawson. Somebody else has something you want to share. Yes, Mr. Martin.
Thank you. We've been studying Revelation in our Sunday school class, and one of the things that a lot of people are not aware of is that, and I'm excluding this group of people here, the Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's from him, and it was given to him from God, and Christ gave it to his angel to give it to John. And in the first chapter of Revelation, it talks about who this revelation is from, and it's in verse 4, it talks about which... is from which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood. And then in verse 8 it says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And I am very thankful that we have a faithful witness. In 1 John chapter 5, it talks about three who bear record in the earth and three who bear record in heaven. And Christ Jesus is that faithful witness who has bear record here on earth unto us concerning the things of God and concerning the things of himself. And these things, we can be encouraged one another. I just am very thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes, Jenny.
Yeah, I'm thankful that my kids can go to camp this week. And my husband mentioned this morning, but there was a lot of scrambling around to get staff for this week, and I saw a lot of the emails going in and out, and just a lot of prayers answered. So really thankful for all the people who stepped in to fill those positions for this week. And, just the Lord answering those prayers. And then I was reading this week in Ecclesiastes, and there's a lot of things in there that stood out, but one that was just the encouragement was that that it's a gift from God that we can enjoy our work. And I was thinking about all the stuff I do every day, and you know, I can enjoy it, and it is a gift. The work itself is a gift, and then that I can have joy while I'm doing it is a gift. And so I was just praising the Lord for that.
Thank you, John. Bob, Mr. Bernard, way back there in the back.
I was thinking about this week about the different ways that the saint and the sinner, how they think of our system, our world system, what's going on in the world. In our the future devotion that we have, it talks about two immutable facts. And one is the fact that there is one God. And two, you are not him. And I thought that left a message on my heart. Because you listen to the TV and you listen to the world system, they say there are three facts that you got to think about. If you're born, that's a fact. And you're going to die, that's a fact. And your car is going to break down. And that's a fact. But the thing is, their idea of what's going on in the world is different, completely opposite of one another. And I thank the Lord that we do have that assurance that He has promised us never to leave us nor forsake us. We don't have to think like the world. We don't have to act like the world, because we know who's in control.
All right. Thanks. All right. What a blessing it is to trust in Jesus and have our faith and our confidence and our trust in Him. Let's. Anybody else before we sing that hymn, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus"? All right, turn to number 257, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," and we'll stand and sing. Okay. Another special blessing today was to have Ed and Mary Jones be able to be here. How long have we been praying for them? And their seat has been empty for a long time. And what a blessing to see the Lord bring them safely to us. And, just to give kind of a testimony that Ed gave is that he mentioned that if you remember, we were praying for him for a surgery that he was to have, and he got there and got prepped, and then at the last minute they wouldn't do it because of a medication that they wanted him to have. He was sharing with me that if he had gone into that surgery, most likely he would have died. He would have bled to death in the surgery. It was a mistake from his doctor that had been told, this surgeon had been told, that he had to have this particular medication because of the particular blood condition that Ed has. And so as we've been praying for him, and he recognized it was by the grace of God that he did not go under that surgery. And so the Lord protects us in many ways. Bob?
I was just talking to him this morning, and he was telling me that he now has to go in for hernia surgery.
Yes.
He's got two hernias.
Yeah.
So we still got to keep him in prayer.
Yeah, he still has some surgery to go, but it was a great blessing to have him here, and so we thank the Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 26. When Pastor asked me if I would be on call for tonight, and I didn't know what I would speak on at that time, but the Lord laid this passage upon my heart, Psalm 26, and as I think of those that would be here on Sunday night, and our church has been a great blessing over the years, and Marlene mentioned that it was a great blessing to our own family, even as you mentioned that starting there in our home, it was a blessing to our children to have to serve and have to have their rooms ready and various things. But then we look over the years and we come here to the point where we are here today, and to see the way the Lord has brought various ones, and the way the Lord is strengthening ones in the Lord. And I see you folks, and I see how the Lord has worked and been working in your hearts. We see the way the Lord has supplied in bringing the Howard family here, and their being able to pick up the reins and to go, and then to see the growth of those here. I've titled this message this evening, "The Solid Footing of a Righteous Man." The solid footing of a righteous man, as I have seen and witnessed that growth in the Lord. Yes, we grieve over those that we've seen that have come and gone, particularly those that have not gone on to serve the Lord. But this passage in Psalm 26, it's a passage where we see David, and we see that solid footing that a righteous man has, and so I think we can come to joy in what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the solid footing that puts us upon. David is able to ask, as he in these first five verses of this chapter, he is asking for God's judgment, not against him, but for God to examine him. It says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, and try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. Here we see David in the first verse. He speaks of his personal integrity. He asked the Lord, judge me, for I have walked in mine integrity. I think another couple other passages in the Psalms where David says, with my whole heart I have sought thee. David could come before the Lord and say, I have walked in my integrity, or I have walked in the best that I can, O, before you. I trusted also in the Lord. I trusted also in the Lord. This is David speaking about his Christian life. As we are walking in the Lord, as we are seeking His guidance and the Lord's direction in our lives, we might, and we are not going to do it perfectly, but at the same time, it's a blessing here that David could say, I have walked in mine integrity. I trusted in the Lord. And in the midst of that, as in his trusting in the Lord and walking, even as the passage goes on and talks about trusting in the Lord, he recognizes that in that he has a solid footing. In that faith in God that we see there in the last part of that verse, because of that, because of his faith in the Lord, and seeking to follow the Lord in his life, in his integrity, he says, I shall not slide. What keeps us from sliding? What keeps us in our life from being deceived in our lives and being called out and going in a wrong direction? It is seeking the Lord with our heart, walking in our integrity, trusting in the Lord. Because of that, from the second verse down to the fifth verse, we see David is able, and he wants the Lord to examine him. Examine me, O Lord. Prove me. Try my reins and my heart. David was able to come before the Lord and ask the Lord to shine the light on his heart. It's the righteous seek the light of the Lord. The wicked flee from the light. Men love darkness rather than light because the scripture says their deeds are evil. Because David was walking in his integrity, because David was trusting in the Lord, he can ask the Lord, Lord, prove me. Try my reins and my heart. This is a, Lord, examine my heart. I think of that, the words that David wrote in Psalm 139 when he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be a wicked way in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting. When we have a desire to walk in the ways of the Lord, trusting in Him, we can come before the Lord, and we ought to come before the Lord. And even as David here, try me. try my heart. He wants the Lord to show him. Even as he comes at this time before the Lord, he's able to come and ask the Lord to try him. How we ought to be doing that continually. Because the Lord always has some things he wants to show us. He always has some things that he wants to deal with in our lives. And so that Psalm 139, that's where David begins that psalm by saying, Lord, you know me. You know me completely. You know my thoughts afar off. And so then he ends that psalm, search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. It's that, Lord, examine me, because he had that desire. He was trusting in the Lord. He was wanting to follow the Lord. And then in that examination, he asking the Lord to examine him, he talks about that personal experience that he's had with the Lord. He says, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I've walked in thy truth. He sees the loving kindness of the Lord. I was surprised when I looked at the front of the bulletin this morning. That's the verse that was on our bulletin. Thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. You know, the one that is walking with the Lord, the things that we see around us cause us to give the Lord praise. When we look at the creation, we look at all there is, and with them putting that on our bulletin today, it shows there a pitcher filled with flowers and the beauty of those flowers. It's a recognition of the loving kindness of our God and what He's given us in beauty. But he says, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. David had seen the loving kindness of the Lord. And because of that, he said, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go with dissemblers. Or that's those are deceivers, those who would hide their true person, their true identity. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Part of David walking in his integrity was to choose his friends, was to choose those to whom he would be in fellowship with, and how important that is. We see that, and we continually talk to our children about having the right kind of friends, because we know what bad friends can do and can lead them. David realized he needed that. He needed to guard where his friends were. He says, I've not sat with vain persons, or I'm not going to go with them in their deceit. And being in the place in the where the evildoers are gathering, where we would sit in their council, he says, I've hated that. I've not wanted that. What a lesson seeking to live a life that is right before the Lord. The solid footing that we have that are in Christ, the solid footing that we have that have if we've sought to walk in our integrity, trusting in the Lord and having the Lord to examine us, be willing to come before the Lord and seeking His light and seeking His trying so that we might better ourselves rather than become like the world. David recognized what the world was like, and he recognized that that's not what he wanted, and so he made a determination in his life who he was going to fellowship with, who he was going to be influenced by, and we are certainly influenced by those that we gather ourselves around, and so there we see in those where David was asking for the Lord's judgment, and then in verses 6-8, the one that has us is on that solid footing of a righteous man. He has true worship. He says in verse 6, "I will wash mine hands in innocency, so I will compass thine altar, O Lord." He keeps himself clean from the wicked and their devices, and he can come before the Lord clean. Oh how we are to be continually being cleansed. The way we have, if we are walking in our integrity, if seeking to live a righteous life, when we sin, we're going to follow 1 John 1:9. We're going to confess it. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and righteous to forgive us. Isn't it a blessing that we can come before the Lord cleansed and clean? We're reminded of that when we partake of the Lord's table here. When we need to examine ourselves, we need to say, is there that is not right between me and the Lord? And how we all know that we are sinners and we have to deal with that old nature in our hearts. But what a blessing it is that we can in good conscience partake of the Lord's table, because we have confessed and we have turned from, and we were seeking the Lord for His strength, to live that righteous life. And so David was able to say there, "I will wash my hands in innocency, so I will compass thine altar, O Lord." And being able to come before the throne of the Lord, to the altar of the Lord, he says in the 7th verse, we see that he has then a testimony that is usable, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all of all thy wondrous works. When we're right with the Lord, when we are able to be on that solid footing of a righteous person, then we can have a testimony where we can declare to all the wondrous works of God. Well, can't we do that anyway? I think of Psalm 51 when David had sin in his heart that wasn't confessed, that wasn't right. I often think of what he came to in that Psalm 51 is such a great psalm of the confession of David. And he says in the 10th verse, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." You know, when David had unconfessed sin, he was not walking in his integrity at that time until he came and confessed it. He said, and then in those verses in Psalm 51, we can see what it was like in that time where he wasn't on a solid footing. He says, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me, but restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. You know, David lost the joy of his salvation when he wasn't on that firm, sound footing of the righteous. He was really torn apart on the inside. And what did he say about being able to witness to others? In the 13th verse, he says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted. The one that's standing on the firm footing of a righteous man and is walking, following the Lord to the best of his abilities, trusting in the Lord, it's a testimony God can use. Over the years in my ministry, I've had to deal with those that have been under the influence of alcohol, and it's amazing some of the things they can preach, and the righteousness they can preach, and yet they are far from the Lord. The testimony that certainly when one like that is speaking of the Lord and knowing the Lord, you just kind of cast that testimony aside because it's not backed up with a life. It's words that are not backed up. But David recognized there when he confessed that sin in Psalm 51 that then he would be able to teach transgressors. Then he could bring others to the Lord. Others would be converted. And that's what I believe that's what he is saying here in verse 7 of this psalm. He says, you know, I will wash my hands in innocency, so I will confess thine altar, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all the wondrous works. In verse 8, in that worship, as he comes before the altar, as he's giving thanksgiving, publish with thanksgiving all the things that God has done. And in verse 8, he says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Started off, and even your testimony tonight, testifying to the blessing of coming together the place where the Lord is honored. To come together and gather together as a local assembly. David loved to be in the house of the Lord. That should, you know, there's other places we could have been tonight, right? We could have been someplace else tonight. But, you know, even though there's not many here tonight and others had to be away, we knew there wouldn't be as many here tonight, yet what a blessing it is to come together into the house of the Lord. And when something hinders us, when you're not well and not able to gather with the Lord's people, the righteous man, the one that's on that solid footing that David said because of that he wouldn't slide. That man just, when he can't be there, he misses it. He wishes he could be there. You know, and that's the way we should be as believers. Not that, oh, I better go tonight.
What'll somebody think if I'm not there? That's not our motivation. Is I love to be in the house of the Lord. I love to be where God is honored. We live in a world where God is not honored. We live amongst a people that God is not honored. And what a blessing just to come together to speak of our Lord, to give testimony to His grace, of His loving kindness, to be under the precious Word of God. Just coming across this psalm, this 26th psalm, and reading through it, I thought, what a blessing it is to be a believer. What a blessing it is to know I'm not sinless, but I've confessed my sin to the Lord, and I'm seeking to walk the Lord in my integrity. What a blessing it is to be able to share a scripture like this with God's people who love Him and who want to be what He wants us to be. So it's a place of we love true worship of the Lord, and that should if we see that beginning to wane, then we there's something wrong that's going on within us, and we need to deal with that. And then verse 9 through 12, that one that is standing on that solid footing of a righteous man understands the need for God's protection. Just like Bob just mentioned that one notation in the devotional, to know that there is one God and we're not Him. We're not it, you know. David says here in verse 9, we see that he knows the world's danger. He says, "Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes." David understands the need for God's protection. He says, "Lord, don't gather me into the midst of that, for my influence." But he says there in the 11th verse, in the 11th verse, but as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. There's a commitment to God and to God's protection. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. There's the personal commitment again that David has. He had walked in his integrity. Now he says, "I will walk in mine integrity." So there's his commitment to God, and then his desire for the Lord's dealing with him and being there with him. "Redeem me and be merciful unto me." He recognizes his needs for God's protection, and he rejoices in his standing with the Lord. Verse 12, "My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord." Is your foot standing in an even place? Do you have that solid footing of a righteous person? That comes through that life that David experienced and was experiencing, and he had to come to learn. And even as we saw through the life of David, there was that times of sin in his life, and he had to deal with it. He had to turn from it. But here in this psalm, he's able to speak of what a blessing it is to have that solid footing of a righteous man. What a blessing it is to know the Lord. What a blessing it is to walk in Him. Some of you have been walking there for a long time. You've experienced the loving kindness of the Lord. You've had to deal with issues in your life. And some of you, let's see, look down here. I don't know how old, I don't even know how old Pearl is. Or Anna Mae or Eva or Lily. I know pretty close. But you know a little bit. You've been under the Word of God. And you want to have that solid footing in your life, that solid footing that David had, that we've been able to experience as believers in the Lord. And in perfection, no. But what a blessing it is that we have the one that is conforming us to His image. We want to serve the Lord with all of our hearts. We want to have that solid footing that He has given us. Let's turn in our hymnals to number 262, Trusting Jesus, number 262. Heavenly Father, how we thank You for the way that You give us a solid footing for our lives. What a blessing it is, Lord, to be gathered here in this place with Your people, those that have trusted You, those, Lord, that have gone through various issues in life. Lord, they've been blessed by being a child of God. They've been blessed of seeing Your working and dealing in their lives and helping them to grow in their knowledge and in their wisdom as they begin, as we see the wisdom of God. And now, Lord, help us, Lord, to joy in that. Help us, Lord, as we looked at this psalm tonight, to recognize things that You want in us. Lord, help us, like David, to say, search me, Lord, try me. Lord, as I walk in my integrity, Lord, show me any place that needs to change. And Lord, help us to do that. Lord, I pray for each generation that is here in our congregation tonight, from the youngest, Lord, here to the eldest, that, Lord, that we would follow you in righteousness and experience the blessings that David experienced here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you're dismissed. Lord.